Hello there, and welcome to the spread in Essendon.com's Football Picks Podcast. I'm Essendon.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle, Andre Khachaturian, also of Essendon.com fame. Gentlemen, how are we?
Excellent.
It's Doing pretty well.
One week closer towards Christmas, I guess, in 2021. So
yeah, so that's good. It also means we're 1 week closer to the football season being over, which is
yeah, that's going to be sad. There's nothing worse than the time period between the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just... So, like, here's the thing. I'm not to get off on a tangent already, but I'm getting old, obviously, and golf has become, like, my favorite sport in the world, which is a sad reflection of my life. So I have now talked myself into, like, that spring thing being the best. So I am good. So, you know, maybe get into golf. Get into betting on golf. That's the way to go. So that's that. They start up again in like 2 weeks in Hawaii. So that's like right into. I mean, they start up again before the NFL even ends. Like the best weekend of the year is the Waste Management out in Phoenix, which just goes off like the final round of the Waste Management goes right into the Super Bowl. It's a brilliant little weekend of Super Bowl weekend. So
I like your shirt.
Thank you. It says "Haters Gonna Hate" with what are the names? Waldorf and Statler, I think. Statler and Waldorf, maybe.
Yeah,
I did wear this because it, a bit of a spiking the football for me after last week going out and saying the Washington football team would upset the Steelers, knock off their undefeated season, and they did just that on Monday night. What a delightful little call by your boy.
Yeah, I hit
all I did well last week. Like- but
Huh? I hit that one as well, Mike, and because of that, you that was one of your 8 wins last week. You finished 8-6. Well, you haven't finished that. You still have the Baltimore Dallas game. This is being recorded on a Tuesday, but Ricky, you and I were pretty bad. We went 5-9. So Mike is actually first place now in the standings.
I thought I had a great read on this week, and I still feel like I left a lot out on the table. And I completely biffed on that other Monday night game. So I will sit here and tell myself how great I am for the Washington game. I legitimately thought the 49ers had a good chance of beating the Bills, and they got manhandled. So,
yep.
I think I felt as good about that game as I did almost any other game on the schedule this past week. So that's really
the San Francisco Buffalo one?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I think we were all on San Francisco there, and I thought that was – I thought that had disaster potential for Josh Allen, and he just
Not I wonder how much the impact of the Niners playing a home game in Arizona had to do with that one.
I think it had more to do with the fact that, and well, I'll get into this a little bit more later, like I did not realize and didn't do enough homework into the 49ers not having anybody who could rush the passer. And, you know, they play like that cover three defense and stuff, which works a lot better if – you know, you can rush the passer with guys up front. And, you know, when they don't have Bosa, you know, they've been hurt up front. They can't generate pressure. But,
yeah. They're one of those teams that you're sort of relying on their coaching advantage week to week. And that's why I thought that they had sort of the inside track on that one. But
Brian Daboll, just as good as Robert Saleh.
Right. So maybe it was just an instance of just completely overreacting to that mismatch.
Game was sick, though. A lot of talent on the field in that game. It's a bummer that San Francisco has been so hurt. Like, that would be an awesome – like, you could see that as a Super Bowl if those two teams are healthy. But
yeah, that was a fun little interconference game. We got some decent matchups this week, though.
It's funny you mentioned that. We're going to get right into those now. We're here to – oh, before we do, of course, as I always say – well, I always say now – please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or subscribe to the Nesson YouTube channel if that's where you're getting it right now. If you just stumbled across it by searching NFL Week 14 Picks and you found us, and you're probably wondering why 5 minutes into this we haven't talked about football really, that's understandable, but please subscribe anyway. Rate and review us, tell us how great we are, and we'll continue to put on a fantastic effort from week to week, you know. And if you think we stink, then just fade it. I don't know, whatever. Make money. Or follow, like, how much, what was that, like 3-1 probably, the Washington money line on Monday night? So it's a good little chunk of change there if you follow that. So we'll pick 3 best games of the weekend, do locks and upsets, and then we will be on our way. So Let's get into our first game of the weekend, which is Monday. See, this, I'm not even going to completely apologize for that because it could be a Monday afternoon game at this point. We've got Wednesday afternoon games. Why not Monday? But this is a Sunday afternoon game in Tampa Bay. The Bucs coming off of the standard Week 13 bye host the Minnesota Vikings in Tampa. The Bucs come – well, Minnesota survived, like, by the – definition of survive, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. Now they have to go to Tampa. The Bucks laying 6.5 points at home. Total set at 51.5 at the moment. Ricky, who do you like in this?
Yeah, first of all, that week 13 bye that you just mentioned, I mean, talk about catching a break there. I mean, that looked, even before the season, when the schedule came out, you're like, that is a very favorable bye for this team with a 43-year-old quarterback that is going to have an opportunity to sort of rest their legs before the playoffs. But all things considered, what's been happening with Tampa Bay recently, couldn't have come at a better time for them.
They've been banged up too.
They've
been banged up too. Like, so they needed it for the injuries as well.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I think that's going to play a huge role in this one. I mean, I think that coming out of the bye, this is an opportunity for them to sort of reset a little bit. As far as Minnesota goes, I mean, look, they've scratched and clawed their way back into this, but you just mentioned that underwhelming win last week. Even look at the last 3 weeks. I mean, they lost to Dallas, beat Carolina by a point, beat Jacksonville in overtime. I mean, there's nothing really inspiring about that. They just look at like what they do well. It's obviously run the football, but I think if you're Tampa Bay, I think they have the ability to, you know, to take that away. I think Minnesota's offense is just a little too predictable, I guess. I mean, you look, they've called a run play. This is from ESPN Stats and Info. Call the run play on 51.3% of the time on first and second down combined, which is the fourth highest mark in the NFL. Look at the Bucs defense, fourth in run success rate against on first and second down. So I just think they're going to be able to take away with Minnesota does well offensively. I think you just more generally, Tampa Bay is good at stopping the run. That's going to force Kirk Cousins to make some plays. And you know, he's been decent this year, but I just don't think that offense is really unpredictable enough. I'd like to see them use a little more play action than maybe they do, considering their strength running the ball. And I just don't know that they're going to do enough offensively in this game. I think it's a good spot for Tampa Bay to come out of the bye and get a win.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ricky. But the only thing that scares me is the number of points. It's, what is it, 6.5? That's a huge number. But I'm still going with the Bucks. They're well rested. The Vikings, like you mentioned, they run the ball well. They average 4.9 yards per carry. That's Dalvin Cook is a major focal point of that entire offense. But Bucks, the league's best rush defense. They allow just 3.3 yards per carry, and they've allowed 74 yards per game. They've only allowed more than 100 yards just twice this season. So that's a pretty stout rush defense. And on the other side of the ball, you mentioned Brady's going to be well-rested. Four of Tampa Bay's five losses have been against really good rush defenses, top six rush defenses, twice against the Saints and once against the Rams and the Bears. Tampa's going to be able to move the ball against the Vikings, especially after some rest. Like you said, this is a good bounce-back situation for them.
Yeah, I get the Bucks as well. I think this is a big-time get-right spot for them. I think they absolutely blow out the Vikings, to be honest with you. I think this is – going to be one of those games where the narrative coming out of this game is going to be like, well, that's what you get for burying Tom Brady and et cetera, you know, like, don't forget about the Bucks as this is, you know, December when Tom Brady comes together, blah, 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 blah. But I do have reasons for that. And kind of to touch on what you guys did. I think the Tampa Bay offense is going to be clicking here. If they can run the ball even a little bit, that sets up the passing game. And I think honestly, what's been a big issue for Tampa this year is that they've taken too many shots. Like that's that's not the Tom Brady way or whatever. And it's weird that they're throwing the ball deep so often when he's been the master of kind of just the, not dinking and dunking, but those short intermediate passes. But I actually think this is an opportunity where they're going to feast on the deep ball. I think it actually plays to their advantage this week. Because you look at Minnesota, they haven't really been able to pressure the quarterback this year. They're 26th in pressure, 25th in sack rate. So you know, Brady's going to have time to throw. But even more importantly, Minnesota ranks 28th in explosive passing plays allowed per Sharp Football. They've been brutal on first and second down. So I think there's going to either – maybe they set up the run to take the top off with play action or whatever. Brady, 8.8 intended air yards per pass attempt, is third in the NFL. So it's something that they've wanted to do. They've wanted to push the ball down the field. And I think that they're going to be able to do that. I think they're going to score on a couple big plays, some chunk plays, which is actually going to neutralize the strength of Minnesota's defense, which is its red zone defense, ranks third. So I think that kind of gets neutralized by, maybe like a 30, 40-yard touchdown. And on the other side of the ball, kind of what you guys said, if they can stop the run, if they can stop Dalvin Cook, they're going to have success. And I think the way to do that is to blitz. And Tampa Bay likes to blitz a lot. We saw last week Jacksonville blitzed Kirk Cousins a lot. He averaged just 5.8 yards per throw while being blitzed. They blitzed him on more than a third of his dropbacks. He got sacked four times. They hit him 14 times. There's only four teams with a higher blitz rate than Tampa this year. So it's something that they're going to feel confident and comfortable doing. If you can generate pressure against Cousins, he's been kind of a mess, unsurprisingly, completing just over half of his passes with 71 passer rating. So I do think that kind of the matchup really fits Tampa well here. So I think Tampa comes out of the bye, looks really impressive, throws us all off the scent again, and makes everybody think that they're going to be good again.
Look, every slip up that Tampa Bay has this year is going to be magnified. And that's why the swings in momentum for them this year have just been pretty insane. But I mean, they're coming off what, back-to-back 3-point losses to the Rams and Chiefs. I mean, those are two legitimate teams. I mean, like in Minnesota, they've beaten one team with a winning record this year. That was Green Bay. And that was when Green Bay was, no David Bakhtiari, no Aaron Jones. Like, yeah. That was a good spot for Minnesota to sort of steal a divisional game there.
Yep.
Good points, Ricky. I like that.
Yeah, it'll be, like I said, it just feels like one of those games where you come out of it. And I'm probably going to be jumping on whoever the Bucs are playing next week because
the Bucs, they might win out. They have this game against Minnesota. They got two against Atlanta and they got the Lions.
Yeah. So I guess, they get the Bucs next, or shoot, they have the Bucs. They have the Falcons next week in Atlanta. That's probably one I'm going to get tricked into taking Atlanta. Cause they're going
to
be,
they might drop one of those. So they'll finish 10-6.
Yep, and then they'll go to New York and lose to the Giants in the first round. So, anyway, let's move on. Nothing else on that game, I assume, guys?
Nope.
All right, real interesting matchup here. Potential playoff preview. Got the Kansas City Chiefs fresh off of their Sunday night win against Denver. They head on the road to take on the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins coming off of their win over Cincinnati. Kansas City now tied for first place in the American Football Conference after Pittsburgh lost at 11-1. Dolphins holding strong in the AFC East, 8-4. Like I said, potential playoff preview here. Total set at 49.5. It's going to be warm and muggy in Miami. Andre, who do you like in this one?
Oh, I love the Chiefs in this one.
It's laying 7.5. I don't know if I mentioned that.
I don't care if it was 10.5.
You hate the Dolphins, don't you?
Yeah.
I just think they're
very low on the Dolphins this
year. They're like the anti-card.
Low on the Dolphins. They're a fraudulent team, and I think that's they have a rookie quarterback with Tua, who I like, but in a spot like this against Kansas City, who actually they have a pretty decent pass defense. Their rush defense is terrible. Their pass defense is pretty decent. I absolutely see Kansas City dominating this game. Number 2 in yards per play differential. Miami number 24 with a negative yards per play differential, but an 8-4 record. What does that tell me? It just means they've kind of gotten lucky this year. And the Chiefs, they average 8.2 yards per pass attempt, third best in the NFL. Miami allows 7.4 yards per pass attempt, eighth worst in the NFL. I can absolutely see the Chiefs just taking advantage of that and having some explosive plays. They struggle against Denver's stingy defense. I don't see that happening against Miami. Also, Miami has allowed the fifth highest explosive run rate. So I can see the Chiefs succeeding on the ground and in the air. And defensively, Kansas City's biggest weakness is their rush defense, but Miami averaged the fewest yards per carry in the NFL. I don't see them taking advantage of that at all.
First, this game is going to look cool. Like, there's a lot of bold color schemes going on here. I think it's going to be a pretty aesthetically pleasing
Hopefully the game. Dolphins wear the throwbacks, too.
Oh, that'd be sick. I need that. I wanted to find a reason to take Miami here. I really did. But I'm with you, Andre. I'm going to take Kansas City in this game, and I think a lot of it stems from you know, whether Brian Flores is going to be able to resist the temptation to send extra bodies, because we've seen what Patrick Mahomes can do against the blitz. Only the Ravens blitz more than the Dolphins this season. So I just think there's an opportunity there for, you know, if they give into that and they start sending the extra bodies, I think Mahomes is just going to have a field day as he typically does. Andre, you mentioned the sort of the luck factor. You know, I don't know how much of their, the Dolphins knack for taking away the football has been lucky, but you're now facing a Chiefs team that has, they're tied for the fewest giveaways in the NFL, tied for first in turnover differential. Look at the Dolphins, sixth in fumble recovery percentage at 57%, which is sort of whatever. But I mean, those are 50-50 balls once they hit the ground, and they are lucking out to an extent there. And then just offensively, I don't know whether Tua is going to be able to create enough big plays. You mentioned the respective explosive play rates, and I could just see this being an instance where the moment's maybe a little too big for Miami. I do think this is a team that's on the up and up, but it still feels like they're 1 year away. And this is like one of those spots where they get exposed a little bit. So I don't love laying more than a touchdown on the road, but I just think that there's too much of an imbalance when it comes to this matchup that I'll take the Chiefs.
The only way I could see Miami actually maybe covering in this game is maybe Kansas City doesn't show Miami everything because they might meet in the playoffs again.
That's the thing. I mean, Kansas City's been leaving a lot of points on the table these past few weeks. I mean, they're 24th in red zone offense, and they've been – that number has gotten down to that point because they've been 0 for 7 over the last 2 weeks in the red zone. So they're just – I mean, you look at that Denver game where they win by 6 points, and there was just a lot of opportunities for them to sort of seize control of that game, and they just were never able to do it. So I think that's the – if Miami covers or even possibly wins outright, it's going to be because of the Kansas City beating themselves.
Give me the point. I'll take the Dolphins. 7.5. I mean, that's a lot. I look at the coaching in this game, and, like, Brian Flores is pretty good at his job, right? I think we're all going to be in agreement on that. Like, I think he's kind of bucking the trend of – Belichick assistants and things like that. And he's done a pretty good job. And to the Belichick point, I think we've seen this in the past where they, just from what I've been reading, like in what Flores, I think Flores said this Monday, he's like, we're going to tailor our game plan to the Chiefs. We're not going to necessarily do what we did last week because it worked. And I like that they're going to be, you know, that's the Patriot way, the Belichick way or whatever, is kind of tailoring your weekly game plan to your opponent. And in that regard, I think they're going to come up with a few ways to kind of slow down that Chiefs offense. It's, you know, whether it's going back and watching the tape of last week or going back and watching the tape of that Patriots game earlier in the season where, you know, New England more or less flummoxed the Kansas City offense. I just think I think Flores is going to come up with ways to kind of slow them down and take away what they do best. And I think they have the tools to do that, whether it's, you know, they've got Xavien Howard. So whether they want to put him on Tyreek Hill and try to erase him that way, or whether they put another corner on Tyreek Hill with safety help, and then you take Howard and put him on the second best receiver. You know, that's something we've seen the Patriots do for years. I think it would work here pretty well for the Dolphins as well. Dolphins has been pretty good this season against tight ends as well. They ranked, I think it's fourth, or I've got it here. Hold on. Sorry about that. They've allowed the ninth fewest receptions, sixth fewest yards, and ninth fewest touchdowns to tight ends. I don't know what that means a whole lot, but, you know, it's better than being last, right? It's better than being filleted by tight ends all year. Kansas City, you know, you talk about the run defense, Andre, Dolphins got Myles Gaskin back last week, ran for 90 yards on just 21 carries. Like, that's a shot in the arm. So I think maybe there's an opportunity there. And just Tua feels like a big game player. I think this is a big game spot. I don't know. I am admittedly going with a lot of stuff that I can't necessarily prove here, but I just think, you know, Miami is a very well-coached team. They're disciplined, you know, despite the fact that they had a brawl last week. I know it's the wrong week to be touting their discipline, but like they've committed the third fewest penalties per game this season. So they're not gonna, I don't think, if the Chiefs win this game, it's just because it's going to be because we're the Chiefs and we're going to run you over and we're better than you. I don't think Miami is going to pee down its leg and you know, just hand the game over to the Chiefs. And if that's going to be the case, I'll take the 7.5.
What a surprise that the Bengals were part of that brawl too.
on the week too, by the way, like Vontez Burfict just got arrested for assault or something as well. So
what a mess. I'm in the last circle.
18-6 against the spread dating back to week 5 of last season. That was when they had like that 0-4, like worst
team
like,
in NFL. It was like the worst team in football history last year.
Yeah. And yeah, 18-6 against the spread since that point. Best mark in the NFL. That's
to your guys' point though, I will say it's interesting. Do I have the number here? Like Flores is 9-6. Oh, this year, yeah. Teams with winning records. Teams with losing records. Miami is 6-1, 2-3 against everybody else. The two wins came against Arizona and the Rams. So those are actually pretty good wins. So
yeah,
I don't know.
They're a team. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft too. Not to go off on a huge tangent here on bigger picture stuff, but I mean, they got those Houston picks. Imagine if Houston had just completely tanked and ended up with the worst record in the NFL, and you're sitting there with Tua and the number one pick. What do you do? Get a haul is what you get.
Yeah, you're right.
For either one of them, if you wanted to take Trevor Lawrence and trade Tua,
be sick too. Because like then you trade it to like, I don't even know who would be looking to move up, but basically it turns into you keeping Trevor Lawrence away from the Jets too.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. That's a discussion for another day, I guess.
I don't think we're gonna get there anyway. The Jets are doing their part to ensure that they get that pick anyway. So, all right. Sunday Night Football. This is a good one. You get the Pittsburgh Steelers coming off of their aforementioned loss to the Washington Football Team. They go to Western New York, Orchard Park, to take on the Buffalo Football Team, also known as the Bills. We've got this one right now as a pick. Like I said, Sunday Night Football total at 47.5. Steelers 11-1, Buffalo 9-3. Big game for both teams. Big game for Buffalo too. If this could be even bigger by kickoff. If for some reason Miami does pull off the upset, this first place in the AFC East could be on the line. So a lot going on there. That's the AFC playoff race is shaping up to be pretty fascinating. This is going to go a long way in that. So like I said, a pick in Buffalo. Ricky, who do you like here?
This is a weird week. Like I feel like everything is sort of catching up to the Steelers to some extent. The weird schedule, it's going to be their third game in 12 days with all the COVID unpredictability and just the jockeying back and forth. Their lack of a running game is sort of coming back to bite them a little bit. Their lack of a vertical passing attack is hurting them a little bit. They've had a lot of drop passes. They've had the fourth most drop passes all year, but I feel like it's been really magnified these past couple of weeks. Dealing with they had a new kicker in there. The kicker's hurt. They've had some injuries on the defensive side, but the Bud Dupree injury is obviously huge. I mean, we've seen that in previous seasons, how big that could be for that unit. I don't know. I think ultimately Pittsburgh's probably going to be fine. And I think if all things being equal, I like them a little bit more than Buffalo on the whole this year, but I think that Buffalo is just getting them at a pretty good time, on the schedule. That offense, what we saw, versus San Francisco on Monday night was pretty impressive. I think they're just a far more explosive unit than Pittsburgh's offense right now. So I'll take the home team in this one. Just give me the Bills at home.
Wow. I'll take Pittsburgh. I think this is a Sunday night spot situation where Roethlisberger has played in a lot and Josh Allen hasn't. So, and I think it's also a situation where the Bills, coming off that huge win against the 49ers, are being a little overvalued, whereas the Steelers, who lost to Washington, people are forgetting how good they are. They still have the best defense in the league. They still lead the league in takeaways. They still allow the fewest yards per play, or one of the teams that allow the fewest yards per play. And their pass defense, elite. And what's been weak for the Pittsburgh Steelers is their rush defense over the last six games. I think coming into this past week against Washington, they allowed the most yards per carry in the NFL over their last five games prior to their game against Washington. And the Bills, really, you look at the running game and are scared of them? No. Let me tell you, I have Singletary on my fantasy team, and he does nothing. So I'm not scared of the Bills at all, running the ball all over the Steelers' throat. And also running the ball, the Pittsburgh just averaged 1.5 yards per carry against Washington. I think that improves against the Bills, who have the 32nd or the worst ranked rush defense according to Pro Football Focus. And that will give some take some pressure off Ben Roethlisberger, who threw the ball 53 times on Monday against the Washington football team and averaged just 5.8 yards per pass. You can't win when you're doing that. So I think they get the run going. Roethlisberger gets a little more comfortable. And I think this is a situation where it's a good bounce back game for the Steelers and the opposite of a bounce back game for the Bills.
It's a lot of bouncing around going on there.
Fallback game for the Bills. I hate how much I like Pittsburgh here. I do think, you know, again, you go back and look at the Monday night game, the San Francisco Buffalo one, where San Francisco really just could not put any pressure on Josh Allen. Josh Allen dropped 43 dropbacks, pressured on just 10 of them. When he was pressured, just 4 of 8 with a 74 passer rating. When facing no pressure, which again was most of the night, 28 of 32, 317, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Like, I mean, the guy has done a ton to get better, and he, you know, probably the most improved quarterback in the NFL this year. But like, it looked easy for him last night or Monday night, just with how clean everything was around him. If that's good, and a lot of credit of that goes to Brian Daboll for, you know, scheming up. There was a few plays where it's like a monkey could have completed, you know, the pass to guys running wide open down the sideline or whatever coming out of the backfield. I think it's gonna be a little more difficult this week, and you know, the Bud Dupree thing definitely does hurt, but I do think Pittsburgh, which, you know, is ranks first in pressure rate this season, will be able to make Josh Allen a little bit more uncomfortable. The question is going to be, can Pittsburgh do that without blitzing? Because, you know, we've talked about ad nauseum about how Pittsburgh likes to blitz. Allen's been very good against the blitz this year. He's got like 105 passer rating against the blitz. So, but I still think, you know, there's enough talent on that defense that they can find unique ways to get after him without hurting themselves in the secondary. I don't think Buffalo is able to run the ball at all against Pittsburgh in this one. And Andre, to your point, if the Steelers can get their run game going, kind of balance out the offense a little bit more, I like them in this spot. I just, you know, I don't know if it's a little bit, you know, trying to zig when everybody else is zagging or whatnot, but I just feel like I don't love Pittsburgh, but they're still 11-1. And, you know, I think this is just, I just think it's a good spot for them to kind of get back on track against a Buffalo team that might come in, you know, feeling a little too good about themselves as well.
This is a great pre-playoff measuring stick game for both teams.
Yes, this is a very good point. We're going to know a lot more about the AFC and really the NFL in general by Sunday night at like 11:30.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
This is the show-me week for a lot of teams.
Didn't these guys – wasn't there a big spot like yet last year or 2 years ago? I feel like these two teams played on Sunday night somewhat recently, and it was not as good as everybody expected. So I think there's a chance to right that wrong this time around. I could be wrong, though. I don't know. I just got to stop saying
stuff. I got to let facts stand the way.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Let's do locks and upsets. Andre, who is your lock?
My lock is the New Orleans Saints against the Philadelphia Eagles, over the Philadelphia Eagles. Saints have the best rush defense in football. They go up against a Philly team that averages 5 yards per carry. So they love to run the ball. Well, they don't love to run the ball. They're 28th in rush attempts, but they're good at it when they do run the football. So I don't think they're going to run the ball that much, which is their biggest strength, because the Saints' rush defense is so good. And if you're not running the ball, what are you doing? You're passing the ball. The Eagles don't have a quarterback right now.
Very true.
Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, I don't care who it is. Neither of those guys are going to do anything against against the Saints' defense, who's allowed just 8.8 points in the last 5 games. Sure, one of those games was against Denver when they didn't have a quarterback, but I just don't see just the Eagles stink, and the Saints are good. Simple as that. It's my lock.
That's not really the only thing you got to say.
Let me just interject real quick. I looked it up. The Bills and the Steelers played like the same week last year, December. I don't know if it's the same week, but oh, it was week 15 last year on Sunday night. In Pittsburgh, and Buffalo won. So this is a revenge spot, so I feel even better about the Steelers. Ricky, yeah. Who's your lock?
I'm going to take the Cardinals over the Giants, two teams that are sort of trending in the opposite directions right now, but I think it's a good spot to to buck the trend. I think everybody's on the Giants a little too much. Still got to factor in they got Colt McCoy at quarterback. The Cardinals have three straight losses, but it came against the Seahawks, Patriots, and Rams, three formidable teams. So I think this is an opportunity to for Kyler Murray and company to get back on track.
I like I'll go Thursday night for my lock. I got the Rams over the Patriots. Rams laying six, which is a little more than I maybe feel real comfortable with. But I think, you know, you look at last week, that was the most obvious, maybe not to that extent, but it was pretty clear the Patriots were going to wipe the floor with the Chargers. One of the biggest coaching mismatches in the history of the entire sport. I think it'll be a little – it'll be a little closer this week. I think, you know, Sean McVay is going to be ready for Bill Belichick. I think McVay can pour over game tape from the Super Bowl. The Patriots have owned the Rams recently, and they, you know, Belichick did outcoach McVay in the Super Bowl. But I like that Rams defense is still legit, and I just wonder how the Patriots like gimmick their way to scoring points in this game. Like, I just don't know where the points come from the Patriots, and New England's defense, which the numbers have gotten better, like I still don't think it has the talent to come anywhere close to matching what the Rams can throw at them, you know, from the Rams offense. If the Patriots win this, just give the Coach of the Year award to Belichick, because then he will have just coached his way through just a minefield of a game and really a road trip, and they'll be right back in it. I just don't think that's going to happen. I just think the talent disparity is too big for the Patriots to overcome here. So I like the Rams to kind of roll in this one.
Yeah, if you did just like a cursory glance of that Patriots-Chargers box score, it's pretty hilarious. Like trying to figure out how the Patriots won by 45 points.
I feel like that's happened every week now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's just they're the ultimate like gut feel team. Like I like it. There comes a point where it's like, I don't even going to look at the numbers really. It's just a matter of like how I feel about the coaching matchup and how I feel about their ability to, like you said, score sort of those gimmick points. Like it's a strange team.
Cam Newton, 12 of 19 for 69 yards.
69 yards.
And they won 45.
I just looked it up. I don't feel good about it now. The Rams, according to the Pro Football Focus, have the 29th ranked special teams unit. So
it's surprising because they have Johnny Hecker.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait till like Thursday night though at halftime, and the Patriots have just returned a punt for a touchdown before the break. They're getting the second half kick and they're up 13-6 at halftime, and they just feel like an idiot. But we'll see. It just feels like every time they need a big play on special teams, they get it. It's weird. It's nuts. Maybe more teams should try that. I don't know. Ricky, who's your upset?
I'm going to take the team that just got their doors blown off. I'm going to take the Chargers, 2.5-point underdogs against the Falcons. A little different story this week. You're not facing a Bill Belichick coach team. I think it's an opportunity for your Justin Herbert to get back on track here. And I think, I don't know. I think this is just a good spot for them.
I love that pick. I'm going to take Washington over San Francisco, 4.5-point underdogs. What do we learn about Alex Smith this year? Is that he loves revenge. He has revenge against the world when his leg almost was amputated, and now he's having a great season and on his way to lead Washington to the playoffs. And now he's facing the San Francisco 49ers, who let him go a few years back, right? And now he's going to get revenge against them. I also love that defense a lot against Nick Mullins. I almost call him Logan Mullins, who's fellow Nesson.com extraordinaire. But Nick Mullins, pretty much playing like Logan Mullen at quarterback for 49ers. San Francisco has multiple turnovers in the last six games. That's not going to cut it against any team, especially a great defense like Washington, who's third in sacks. They didn't record a sack, but they still beat Pittsburgh. So I'll take Alex Smith and Washington.
What a sneaky, fascinating career for Alex Smith.
It really is, yeah.
I was going to make a movie about this one day, about Alex Smith leading Washington the NFC East title.
Just like number one pick, being like the guy before the guy in two spots. It's weird.
Even you want to talk about like that draft, like getting picked when it, you know, if San Francisco had a do-over, they would have taken Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. A lot of layers to that story.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot. Guy went to Utah, for Christ's sakes. Like, what the hell? I'll take the Giants. 2.5 point road underdogs against Arizona. What? Get out of here. Like, two teams going in very opposite directions. I think the Giants are good. Like, I think we're there now. It's weird. I assume Daniel Jones is going to be back, but even then, if not, I mean, I was shocked.
Giants or Washington?
What?
Who do you like more in the NFC East?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think probably Washington, I guess, which is tough because, like, I think the Giants ceiling is probably higher, but who do I trust more? It's Washington because I like that the coach quarterback combo better. Like, Ron Rivera has been around the block. I think Alex Smith isn't going to necessarily get you a ton of points, but he's also probably not going to, you know, a few games ago aside, not going to turn it over all the time.
Got a little attitude to him too, a little swagger, like on the defensive side. They're along the front and
they've got
batting balls down like crazy.
They have a lot of high end talent too. Like, you know, Antonio Gibson, if assuming he's okay, is a pretty good running back. I mean, running backs are a dime a dozen. McLaurin.
You know what I loved seeing yesterday was Alfred Morris score two touchdowns. Sorry to interrupt you, Mike. I just love seeing Alfred Morris score two touchdowns yesterday and bring back that. No.
That was awesome. Yeah. I had no idea he was still in
the league. Oh, no, sorry. That was two nights.
It was two, yeah. But, yeah.
He's
so
he used to play there. So.
I like the Giants here. I mean, getting 2.5 points at home. Arizona has not covered in its last five games. So you could say they're due, or you could just say they stink now. I don't think they stink, but it's just, again, how many times have we talked about the Cardinals, especially recently, where it's just kind of like, all right, you know, you guys, you did your thing, you took your step, but this is where the line ends for this year. So I like the Giants to continue rolling here. I think they're better coached, well-ish. They'll be better prepared for this one, I think, than the Cardinals. So give me the Giants.
All right.
Anything else, guys? I meant to look up the Super Bowl odds to see if there's anything that changed. I'll do that right now. Because we did that last week. I thought it was kind of interesting to see if there's – see where we're at. I would imagine the Chiefs are still favored. Chiefs currently plus 200. Saints 5-1. Packers 8-1. Steelers 8-1. Rams 12-1. Seahawks 14-1. Tampa 16-1. I guess this is the one where we kind of – I ask you guys about – what do you think of Buffalo 17-1? Do you think the Bills can win the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
Why not?
There's too many good teams in the AFC.
That's fair. Yeah, right. Yeah. They're gonna at least have to go through Pittsburgh and or Kansas City to get there, right? Especially they're not getting the first seed.
Don't forget about the Titans either. What are the Titans odds?
Their floor is too low too. Like Buffalo could lay an egg real quick. Like that. Their defense isn't great, and obviously the quarterback, as good as he's been, is.
I really like Tennessee's odds. I'll take Tennessee.
Tennessee 30-1.
They're good in spots.
Their defense sucks.
What's Green Bay?
Oh, Green Bay is 8-1. They're good. They're actually good.
I think they're really good. I think I think it's time for people to realize how good they are.
Mike McCarthy somewhere.
I feel like they don't get enough play.
This
doesn't even mean pander into a Packers fan.
We could do the Aaron Rodgers thing every week. Like, Aaron Rodgers has been completely vindicated this year. Look at the numbers. Look at the performance. Look at what Mike McCarthy has done in Dallas. They absolutely railroaded his career. He would be the greatest of all time if they didn't have that boob Mike McCarthy calling the shots for most of his career in Green Bay. The proof is in the pudding. It's completely obvious. The guy has like 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions as a 37-year-old throwing to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Alan Lazard, and Robert Tonyan. I'm going to conveniently leave out Devontae Adams. But like, you know, it's unbelievable. I don't like them at 8-1, though. I don't think there's a ton of value there.
That's the quarterback coach breakup that is just not getting enough attention this year.
I know.
Because of the obvious big one.
But
shit.
Nobody's saying he's a bad quarterback. He's just – he should smile more. That's all I've said about it.
Oh, well,
seems like not a person you want to hang out with.
I've heard the very much opposite. I think he actually is the delight. Have you been watching his interviews, weekly interviews with Pat McAfee? They're delightful.
You're winning a lot right now. That's why.
Well, they weren't winning with that doofus McCarthy. So what do you think? one last one. Browns 30-1. Any takers?
No, I'm still out on the Browns.
Browns are eight last week. They're eight.
You sell it like a stock. Like you buy the Browns, you win a couple playoff games, you sell the bet, you make it a little bit of
no free ads, but I think that might be something you can actually do.